Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Well, this year marks 25 years since the first ETF was launched in South Africa. And the fact is, ETFs have really come a long way from being niche index tracking tools to becoming infrastructure in their own right, shaping how markets develop and how investors access markets, and even how regulators test new systems. Well, joining me now to unpack the African ETF story and its evolution, where liquidity is potentially still a challenge, but opportunity is undeniable, is Ben Mayer, Head of Capital Markets at Prescient Fund Services, and one of the contributors to Prescient's newly released ETF Evolution Report for 2025. Ben, great to have you on the show. Let's just start with the big picture. In your report, you describe Africa's ETF market as both a challenge and an opportunity. Can you just take us through what you mean by that and where the real growth potential is and what's still holding that potential back?
Thanks for having me, Michael. The challenge is that generally in ETF markets, your ETF is as liquid as your underlying assets that the ETF reference. Now, when you operate in an environment like Africa where you have some equity and other security listings, they're not necessarily that liquid. Now, to create ETFs on those assets become a challenge because of liquidity. The exchanges generally requires a ETF issuer to appoint a liquidity provider for those assets. So we've seen before, way back, Cloud Atlas ETFs attempted to list ETFs in a South African market referencing African assets. And it was like all kind of challenges there. But where the opportunity is that a lot of these African exchanges, and we're currently engaging with the stock exchange in Kenya, the Nairobi Stock Exchange, the Eswatini Stock Exchange, and also the Botswana Stock Exchange, you know, the markets are very keen to have products on the exchanges that trade. Now, yeah. It's interesting to note, that's where the opportunity lies, is to bring products from outside into those markets that don't necessarily reference assets in those markets,
yes,
but reference foreign assets or reference gold, for instance. So you find a gold ETF trading in those markets, and a lot of those markets is one of the more liquid instruments. So the opportunity then is for investors or asset managers in South Africa that want to distribute product into Africa is to distribute it as ETFs. You know, and we're chatting to a couple of asset managers. Now, the key there to success is to have that ETF recognized as what they call in those markets local asset status. And then your pension funds and your large institutional investors can invest in it. And that's where the opportunity lies.
There is a big appetite. Last week, Ben, I was facilitating the East African Employee Benefit Summit in Diani Beach in Kenya. And we had principal officers, trustees, asset consultants, and regulators from East Africa, from Kenya, from Uganda, from Tanzania. And one of the keys to come through in the conversation, and certainly the regulator, Charles Mchira from the RBA in Kenya, urged asset consultants and urged trustees to broaden their horizons and to get out of government bonds. Because if you look at the asset allocation amongst institutional investors, I think in Kenya, it's something north of 70% sit in government bonds. And
yes,
and I think a big component is because of that, that lack of opportunity to access alternatives. So what's been your experience in how we broaden access? And is it an education thing as much as just offering the product on these exchanges? Because when you talk about liquidity, the Cloud Atlas Big 50 ETF was meant to be a Pan-African flagship.
Yeah. Look, to come back to what you were just saying, you know, people need to have investment options and the local markets don't necessarily provide those investment options. I mean, we see a similar trend in South Africa where most of the growth in ETFs in South Africa is ETFs that reference foreign assets. And you're probably going to have the same scenario in Africa where the most of the growth will be ETFs in those markets that reference foreign assets, you know, like European assets and so forth, you know, and that is where you're probably going to see the growth. But the challenge there, it's not just the stock exchanges and the regulators are keen, but what we found, there's still work that needs to be done on infrastructure to allow it. And that's regulatory infrastructure and that's also market infrastructure.
Market making.
I'll give you I'll give you a practical example. You know, you have to provide liquidity in those markets. Now, if you do a secondary listing, let's say, of an ETF that tracks the S&P 500, you know, to provide liquidity on a foreign market, you need to either hold those securities or you have to have a scrip lending agreement in place to have access to those securities. Now, in a lot of African jurisdictions, the market is not that well developed that allows for efficient scrip lending market, you know, which we take as for granted in the South African market and in the European markets, you know. So that creates then a challenge. How do you create liquidity in those markets?
Yeah.
And how do you move scrip from where the primary listing is, either in, you know, on straight on the JSE market, or it could be Euroclear Bank in Europe? How do you move that scrip to the central scrip depository in the African market? Now, the practical way to do it is literally to cancel the scrip on the one market and then recreate it on that market. And that creates a market infrastructure problem. But look, our engagements with these exchanges, you know, at the level where they recognize there's challenges. So there's the regulatory challenges, and then there's the practical challenges. And there's a real willingness, and that you've probably picked up at the conference that you've just mentioned as well, there's a real willingness to engage and to grow and to develop those markets. Mm. We're taking what we've learned in the South African market and we're trying to implement it in those markets. And that's a challenge. That's where the hard work goes. But I mean, look, it's a big consumer market, huh?
Yeah.
So there's speaking to some of our African counterparts, there's amazing the amount of trading that happens in the crypto space.
Yeah.
Crypto assets. So there's appetite for trading, but now you just want to make sure there's that ease of access for those tradings. And ETFs can play a valuable role there.
Yeah. And, you know, we've seen Satrix list its MSCI World ETF in Kenya recently, and that speaks to that growing retail participation outside of South Africa, signaling that there's access, there's appetite, and those two things are meeting. If we come back to lessons maybe that we could learn, that we could implement, on the flip side of this, we've got the new gold ETF, and that's become one of the most traded counters in markets like Botswana and Ghana. So how have they managed to overcome some of those regulatory and maybe market infrastructure challenges? What can other issuers learn from that?
So new gold, it's easier to trade the ETF that reference one asset as a start. Okay. So it becomes harder when you got multiple assets. But the new gold ETF paved the way for other ETFs because at least from a trading perspective and a market making perspective, it helped develop the infrastructure and it played a big role in educating these markets of how these things work. You know, so that it does make the road a little bit smoother. But what's quite interesting, what we see now, is that there's a fair amount for actively managed ETFs. Now, the actively managed ETFs, and I'm involved with a client to list a actively managed ETF in two African markets. But the challenge there is your trading mechanics work differently because you don't have the full disclosure of the underlying assets. Then you have an INAV and you have a different liquidity provider and so forth. So there's like a lot of education that needs to happen on that front. And that is where those challenges that I've mentioned earlier comes into it. But yes, it is true to say that the new gold ETF did make it a bit easier, definitely from a awareness perspective, but there is definitely a lot of work that still needs to be done in those markets.
When we look at East Africa, let's say in particular, I mean, it's really the home of M-Pesa, digital innovation. It's often referred to as the Silicon Savannah. And so technology surely has got to play a role here in helping certainly a younger maybe retail trader access these things. How are you seeing digitalization from trading platforms maybe or new data analytics changing what's possible for ETF liquidity and distribution in Africa?
That's an interesting one. You're quite right. Digitalization in East Africa is growing a lot, you know, and it's sort of like everything seems to happen upside down, if you like. You know, if you look at South Africa and other developed markets, you know, you first had equity markets developing and then you had sort of ETFs and structured products and derivatives on that developing and later then crypto assets came. And it's quite interesting, a lot of African markets, it seems like you have crypto assets development and trading crypto assets sort of like happens before you actually have an equity market developing, you know, sort of like upside down. But I think the lessons that can be learned from that is that there's awareness in trading, right? But now it becomes tricky to adapt the regulatory framework to allow for your more traditional assets, your equity, your ETFs and structured products to trade on those exchanges, you know. So, but it creates that awareness is there, the market is there, people want to trade, there's platforms that want to access these things. But I'm afraid that from a regulatory perspective, most of Africa is not there yet in their financial market regulation. And as you know, in the crypto world is decentralized assets. So even, you know, in South Africa and in other developed markets, the regulation around that is still a little bit vague, you know, and regulators are still catching up how to regulate crypto assets, you know. So it makes sense that crypto assets grow very quickly in Africa because you haven't got a strong regulatory framework there, you know. So that is really what is sort of going to happen, sort of like in inverse, if you like. For national markets and a proper capital market to develop, you need a level of regulation. That's the only way that ETFs are going to grow. It does expose the regulatory gap that still needs to be in place for ETFs and also for equity markets to develop.
You know, regulations do always come up. And how far along would you say we are in getting the balance right here between oversight and innovation and ensuring there's a shared level playing field? We all understand the rules of the game. And could we imagine a future where we have African exchanges sharing a digital ETF clearing and settlement layer?
That's a very difficult question to answer. Look, innovation is always ahead of regulation, you know. But if you look at other markets and if you look at digitalization and, you know, your decentralized markets, those markets developed sort of like in a response to you want markets to be deregulated, you know. I mean, that's sort of the essence of where Bitcoin sort of started from, you know. But look, if you ask me, I'm more from the old school. I believe markets work better within a broader regulatory framework. And regulation is not all regulations all over the world came because of some crisis at some point where people lost money. And then the governments, you know, come to the party and say, we have to regulate it to make sure investors are protected, you know. So regulation is not a bad thing. It's very difficult to see how the whole thing is going to play out in Africa, where the unregulated market that's more in the crypto space seem to be developing much quicker than the regulated market. But I think that's an opportunity and a challenge for Africa really to catch up.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's, you know, because the problem is when innovation happens too quickly, somewhere along the line, somebody gets burnt and loses money, you know, and then you have to redesign the whole system. I mean, you can go way back to the gold rush in the US, you know, a couple of hundred years ago, you know, where it was gung-ho and everybody was trading claims on gold. And then eventually a lot of people lost a lot of money. And then the American regulators then stepped in and said, well, we have to start regulating these things, you know. And and that's the fear that I have, that you have this big interest in crypto assets and that, and with not having a strong financial market regulatory backbone, because, you know, the problem is going to start when people start losing money, you know, and at some point in any markets, it happens, right?
Well, I mean, we saw it on Friday, someone front running the president's tweets and big whales trading in crypto just a few hours before he tweeted about China. And it's a bit of the wild, you know, it's all over. It feels, certainly in the digital crypto space, a bit like the Wild West, as you say, of old. Just looking ahead, I mean, if we were to look 5 years ahead, what does success look like for ETFs in Africa from where you sit as prescient? Because, I mean, you're both an enabler and a backbone in this ecosystem. Where do you think we'll be in 5 years?
So I think you're going to... What we already see is, you've mentioned that there's demand for other assets, you know, there's demand for foreign equity, there's demand to diversify risk, you know. So for me, success will be to have a infrastructure and a regulatory environment that's the fertile sort of growing land, you know, for ETFs to grow. So that for me will be success. I'd want to put success on the number of having, you know, X, Y of ETFs or so many assets. Once the regulatory framework is there and you can very easily list inward list ETFs in those markets, that will also assist those markets to have more liquidity.
Yeah.
And when they have more liquidity, there's more investor interest, and then the thing starts growing itself. For me, that will be success to have a secure regulatory framework. And we're doing a lot of work with the exchanges to establish that with them. Obviously, we don't have influence on their regulation, but we help them with the practical implications, and then that points out where the regulation has to adapt to allow for ETFs to be listed, and not only listed, but to be actively traded.
Well, from the Cloud Atlas lessons to the new gold successes, I think the African ETF story really is one of evolution. It's not just of investment tools, but of the markets themselves. Ben Mayer, thank you very much, Head of Capital Markets at Prescient Fund Services. His insights drawn from the firm's ETF Evolution Report 2025, I think a must read for anyone watching how Africa's markets are finding their rhythm. You're listening to Classic Business.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.